last day of Sivan. But I thought, being Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, this time of year, there's an appropriate topic to talk about. This is Zohar, quoted in various contexts. I never saw it inside, but I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly what the Zohar is. But I once saw part of it inside. But either way, the Zohar tells us there are 12 months of the year. 6 months of the year were given to Am Yisrael. 6 months of the year were given to the Satan. Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan were given to Am Yisrael. Pesach, now Shavuos, Tammuz of Elul were given to the Satan. Right, the months of sadness, Tammuz of Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev were given to Am Yisrael. Tishrei, the holidays, Kislev, Chanukah, Teve, Shvat, Adar were given to the Satan. Right, the dead of winter and the dead of summer were given to the Satan. We took back Elul through Tshuva. We took back Adar through Purim. Mashiach will come when we take back the other 4 months. Tammuz Av, Teves Shvat. So, tomorrow night really, or really we could already say tonight, starts the time that we have to take back Tammuz. Take back Tammuz, take back Av. And these are months that we have to re-energize ourselves, because these are days that maybe it's not always the our focus in the middle of the summer and in the middle of the winter, but it's as the Zohar says, when the challenge is up, we have to do our best to be able to make the most of it. So I thought maybe a topic to talk about as we start this somewhat sad time of the year, Tammuz and Av, is to talk about something about the past. But hopefully, when we think about the past, it could be a schus for the future as well. Because as Rav Soloveitchik writes in many of his writings, you have it in source number one, when it comes to Yahadus, time awareness is not separated into past, present, and future. They're all linked. Right? When we're commanded to remember something, it's really to relive, to re-experience. Yes, on Pesach, it's special. Chayav Adam Liros as Atzmo. But really, every holiday. At Shavuos, we have to feel Kabbalah Satorah. Sukkot, we have to feel Ananei HaKavod. And every time we have an experience, we have to feel it. Because past and future all merge. It's a beautiful thought that I saw once in the Shemana Tov, in the Sefer on Moadim, where he writes, we know the Medrash tells us that each of the Minim, each of the Dalet Minim are connected to a different part of the body. Connected to different types of Jews, but connected to part of the body. Lulav is connected to the spine, and Esrog is connected to the heart, and Hadassim are connected to the eyes, and Aravos are connected to the lips. For Shus. So says Rav Weinberger in the Shemana Tov, three out of four are exactly parallel. One spine, one Lulav. One Esrog, one heart. Two Aravos, two lips. Three Hadassim, two eyes. Right, so why is that the other three out of four work perfectly? So he explains, because really every Jew has three eyes. One of his answers. Past, present, and future. A Jew looks to the past, based on the past, lives in the present, and fulfills it to make the most out of the future. Three eyes, three Hadassim. And that's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. He explains, Akavya ben Mahalal al Omer, look at three things. Right, this Mishnah is said in Eretz Yisrael. The minhag is to say this at a kfura. Me'ayin basa, past. Ula'ana taholech, present. Future. Because the Jew lives in three realms. But altogether, he lives in three realms. Right, and that's even what he ends off by saying, each of the avos represent each of one of these times, and each of the avos are within us. We each have a little bit of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Yaakov was the first one, Mitaso Shlema. Children, Shiftei Ka. Children represent the future. Yitzchak was the first Jew to have a perfect past. First boy, first Jew born Bris Milah on day 8. His roots, he never left Eretz Yisrael. He was perfect from the beginning to the end. Past. And Avraham Avinu was busy being Megayrus HaGerim, involved in Chesed, open tent, Hove, present. So the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the three Hadassim, and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they all tell us that We live in all three realms at once. So hopefully through tonight's discussion of something about the past, but hopefully relevant to our lives in the present, we could be zocha for the future, and that is as follows. I was going to end with this, but I'll mention it now, because it really gets us going, and then we'll end with it as well. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, a famous Gemara, about the six questions, or really the six, the Gemara doesn't say, Shoalim lo, Omrim lo. The six things we're going to be asked, so to speak, after 120. Rava says, number one, were we honest in business? Kavati itim laTorah? Did we set aside time for Torah? Asakti imperia verivya? Did we make sure to spend time while working on a family? And tzipisili Yeshua? Did you hope for the salvation? Hevanta davar mitov davar? The last two aren't as famous, but all about wisdom. Let's focus on the first four. Nasadim anata be'emuna. Were you honest in business? So we understand that's a mitzvah. We have to be honest. We have to have proper weights and measures. Don't we understand that's a mitzvah? Kavati Talmud Torah. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So we understand where that comes from. You have to learn Torah. So there's one of the things we're going to be asked about is Kavati Talmud Torah. Asakta b'piri v'rivya. There's a mitzvah for Ravu. Mitzvah number one. You don't have to go so far in the Torah. Tzipisili Yeshua. Did you hope for Mashiach? Did you hope for the salvation? Where does it say that in the Torah? Where's the source in the Torah that you have to hope for Mashiach? And if I don't hope for Mashiach, I'm lacking in my avodas Hashem. Where is it? Where's the pasuk? It's an animamin, okay? The last two animamins. Chiyas HaMeisim and Bias HaMashiach. But where does it say in the Torah? I can do every single mitzvah. All 613. Where does it say which mitzvah is Tzipisili Yeshua? Says the smack. Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, one of the Bali Atosvahs, mitzvah number one. The mitzvah of Emunah. Great smock. A refrigerator smock. When I put it on the fridge, there are certain refrigerator smocks. But the smock says, just like we have to have Emunah, that Hashem took us out and redeemed us in the past, we have Emunah, and part of Emunah that He's going to redeem us in the future. And if we don't focus on that, Tzipisili Yeshua, we're lacking in our emunah. Because we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu started Jewish history, and Hashem has a plan to not have Jewish history, but have to have Jewish destiny. We're marching on a course to bring us to that stage. So we're going to focus the next few moments on the topic of Geula, specifically Malchus Beis David, as a hope that will focus on what Geula has meant and a specific problem in Geula in the past as a schus, as a tzipisel Yeshua, right? The more we want it, the more we yearn for it, right? The more HaKadosh Baruch Hu will realize that we're interested in it and we need it, and hopefully that will be a little bit as a reflection of trying to take back Tammuz. Take back Tammuz, that's what our goal is for the next month. Tammuz and Av to make them Yomim Tov. Okay, that's all by way of introduction. Now let's get into the problem. We're just going to have really one problem, one question with four different ideas, four different approaches to the problem. The problem starts with the Gemara Maseches Yevamah Daf Ayin Vav and Ayin Zayin, source number 2, on page 3. The Gemara tells us, fills in a story that happens in the Navi. Again, often the Gemara fills in stories of the Navi that we don't, it's not fully in the text. But the Navi tells us, as we know, Shaul HaMelech was in a difficult situation because there was a giant named Goliath that was cursing and blaspheming and causing problems for Klal Yisrael. About 15 minutes or so, right after Pesach, my kids were still home, during Midas Banim, and my older kids didn't go back to Yeshiva yet, so they have to Pesach, my wife was at work, so all the boys went about 15 minutes from our house. That's Emek Ha'elah. That's exactly where this story took place, right? You go up on a mountain, it's really cool. Those of you who have been in Eretz Yisrael last year, next year, you know, if you've never been there, you got to go there. It's a nice little hike, not hard step, but as you go up the steps, written on the rocks as you go up the mountain are the Pesukim. One Pesuk, each one, they have a marks, and when you get up, and like, it builds up, And then they were on the two sides of the valley. Am Yisrael was on one side, and the Plishtim were on the other side. And Goliath was in the middle, and he was standing there cursing. And little David, wearing this big armor, didn't fit him. And he goes and in the middle. And by the time you get up, and you see, and you can envision, and then you see the valley. You see exactly where it took place, and you can imagine Bnei Yisrael, the Plishtim, all on these mountains. At 15 minutes from Beit Shemesh. So we know the story. David HaMelech takes a couple of thin, flat rocks. Didn't need more than one. Takes one, hits Goliath right smack into one spot that his helmet is not covering, and he kills Goliath. And Shaul HaMelech is there. He's like, who is that? He had met him before. But who is that? What was he really asking? Says the Gemara, Yevamos, source number 2, is he royal to be the king? Is he royalty? Who is that? He killed Goliath? In steps Doeg HaAdomi, the classic Baal Lashon Hara. Just came up at Daf Yomi recently, but the one who was the expert Baal Lashon Hara in history was Doeg HaAdomi. Haman's also up there, I would say, in the top 5, the Gemara says. He was also a Baal Lashon Hara, Maseches Megillah, but Doeg was known for it, right? Maseches Sanhedrin, maybe he lost his Olam Haba, one of the few individuals that might have lost his Olam Haba. Says that even though Kol Yisrael, with a couple of exceptions. Says the Gemara, Amalei Doeg HaAdomi. Doeg HaAdomi says to Shaul, Ad Sha'ata Mashal Alavim Hagru L'Malchus Im Lav. Before you ask whether he can be the king or not, I have a more basic question. Sha'al Alav Im Roy Lavo Bakol Im Lav. Could he marry a Jew? Could he marry into the faith? Why? My time at the Kasi, Mirusa Moavia. You know what his great-grandmother was? She was a Moavite. Omer le Avner. Avner stands up and says, don't worry. Tanino, we learned in the Brisa. Ammoni velo Ammonis, Moavi velo Moavis. Only the male Ammonite and Moavite men are excluded, but the women are okay. Women are okay. Doeg says, really? What, all Isurei Arayos are only males? Elameata, Mamzer velo Mamzeres? What about that one? What, only the male? The Mamzer, not the Mamzeres? Wait, to tell me all of the ones only apply to males? No. Mamzer ksiv, mumzar. No, anyone's included. Mitzri velo mitzris? No, it's based on a reason. Back and forth and back and forth. Doeg and Avner. Doeg was Talmud Chacham. Doeg knew his stuff. Doeg kept asking until he stumped Avner. And there was this tension in the air. Right? Doeg stumped. Maybe he can't even be... right, because what had happened, I forgot to mention, as you know, Shaul had promised, whoever kills Goliath can marry my daughter. Michal, Meirav. So he's thinking, oh my God, is he going to be able to marry her, not be able to marry her? They didn't know what was going on, until finally, what happens, towards the end of the Gemara, Amasa got up, stood on a chair, took out a sword, and said, I am a sword from Shmuel HaNavi. Amoni v'lo Moavis, Amonis v'lo Moav, v'lo Moavis, only the males, not the females, Dub is good, he can marry into the Jewish faith. End of the Gemara. So, we wipe our brow. Baruch Hashem. David's safe. David's allowed in. But if you think about it, it's a little unusual. I believe this probably also gets calls. I get calls from potential mothers of women. I know that you're a reference. You know, my daughter wants to go out with this boy. You know, tell me a little about him. So what would you say? Yeah, his great-grandmother's Moabite, but it's all good. You would imagine David HaMelech Yisrael, he would be to have the most pristine, perfect Yichus background, you know, not a stain on his record. And here, yeah, he made it in. But why did it have to be this way? Why do you have to come from Rus? Rus HaMoavim, Rus was amazing. Okay, great. But the whole controversy, what do you need the whole controversy for? And if it was just one story, that would be one level of problem. But as you might have thought about in the past, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. We go back in history. What else is in David HaMelech's past? And David HaMelech's lineage? Turning the page. Source number 4. Right? David comes from Rus, comes from Moav. Who is Moav? May Av Lot and his daughters. That's David HaMelech. Lot and his daughters. Source number 4. We know the story. They gave their father got drunk. gave their father water, v'chulu. Okay, and let's keep going in history. Lot and his daughters, Yehuda and Tamar. The next stage. Every stage of every generation, the David HaMelech lineage, has murkiness, let's call it. And not exactly the greatest, purest Yehuda and Tamar. Right? Tamar needs to be with her, with him, v'chulu. She's almost killed. Give you all the psukim. Yeah, what's going on here? Lot and his daughters, Yehuda and Tamar, Rus. And what about Rus and Boaz? That's also, you read the psukim, it's kind of like, she slept by his feet, he woke up, what are you doing here? This is David HaMelech. This is David HaMelech. It's a pattern of murkiness. It's a pattern of shadiness. So what exactly is the message that Chazal are trying to tell us? Or that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has orchestrated these events to create David HaMelech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. And so what exactly is the message for us about David HaMelech? So before we even quote a number of suggestions that were given, one important note, and that is, yes, we see a pattern in all these stories, but we are not faulting, we are not suggesting fault to any of the players in any of the stories. In each of the stories mentioned, one can defend and explain the behavior of the protagonists in the story. They will l'shem shamayim. Right? Lot and his daughters. Right? Rashi quotes, the Medrash says, turning over in source number 9, the Medrash says they thought they were the only ones left in the world. Right? Stone was destroyed. They thought everybody was gone. They thought it was like another marble. Why did Hashem leave us alive? Right? Adam and Chava and the first people in history had a, so to speak, marry within the family, though the only ones in the world. So maybe they thought that. Lot and his daughters, they didn't think anything else. Right, source number 9. Rav Kasha quotes, Velomis Bakshos Lizanoses Avihen, Ella Amru, Lo Barak Adishbarak was Adam Ella Pilyavarivya. The world was one of the major aspects of life is for who? Right? The Gemara, the Mishnah says even, Zechaz Makas Daf Mem Aleph, that we will force a master to free an Eved Chazi Eved Chazi Min Chorin so he can marry somebody. What's the big deal? He won't marry somebody. No, he has to marry somebody. Right? Basil was mother to be Shammai. So it's crucial. So, Lo Barak Hadesh Baruch was Adam, Elah Fahim Arivya. Fahari Hu Chariv Kedor HaMabul. They thought it was like the Dor HaMabul again. So yes, the Lot and his daughters, they were l'shem shamayim. Parenthetically, I didn't give it to you, but if you never saw it, in the first posthumous volume of the Igris Moshe, first posthumous volume, Tichel Ches, Tess, whatever it was, they quote a spooky story. Spooky story. That one time, it was the story was to prove that even not so long ago, people were on a certain level. There was a time that when Rav Moshe was still in Russia, told a story that when somebody called Rav Moshe over, the wife called Rav Moshe and said, my husband's very ill, you have to come see him. He's not doing well. So Rav Moshe goes to see him, and he goes into the room, and he sees the man, he has some type of illness that his tongue got huge. He can't close his mouth. It was like, it's the 1930s, 1920s, 1930s. Moshe says, what's going on? The man said, I know why this is happening to me. He's like, why? He's like, I gave it to our Torah on Shabbos. It's written in the Igros Moshe. I gave it to our Torah on Shabbos about the daughters of Lot, and I disparaged them. And last night, two old women came to me in a dream with their faces covered and saying, they were the Bnos Lot, and we will l'shem Shemayim, and Chas V'Shalom, you spread whatever rumors on us. And that was it. And this is why this is happening to me. And I just want to do vidui. Turned over and he died. So Moshe writes, that's the story. It's even not so long ago, these stories happened. But either way, whether you don't need that story, a little spooky, but we're not suggesting that anybody did anything wrong here. So we have the Bnos Lot, Yehuda and Tamar, obviously, the Ramban says. Tamar had Ruach HaKodesh, that she was supposed to have Zera Kodesh with this Shevet, with Yehuda. Rus and Boaz, they were the Goel. So all the stories, yes, the people involved were l'shem shamayim, and we're not faulting anyone. But still, the question is a question of why David HaMelech have this in his bio? Right, what's the message for us? What exactly is the message for us? What could we learn about David HaMelech, who represents Geula for us? As we know, David HaMelech is, and we'll talk about this another night this summer, David HaMelech is connected to Bidin Yerushalayim, right? Even though every bracha in Shemona Esrei has a separate theme, in the bracha of V'li Yerushalayim Mircha, we end it with David HaMelech, which the Bach even argues on. V'Yerushalayim Mircha, every bracha usually has one theme. It's a bracha of Esamach David, but even the bracha beforehand. What are you mentioning David HaMelech in the Baruch of Yerushalayim? Because David HaMelech is defining for Yerushalayim, is defining for Am Yisrael. So what is it about this this background? So four ideas to try to take with us. And again, through our being osek in the sugya of Geula, we should merit the Geula. Number one is more of a Kabbalistic idea, mentioned by the Eim Avonim Smecha, by Rav Teichtel, in source number 12. Says the Eim Avonim Smecha, Mavur b'sifrei ha-mekubalim, sheba'eis she'Hashem Yisbarach rotzeh la'asos eiz edavar gadol ba'olam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring an amazing goodness to the world, Hashem wants to give a present to the world. Hashem, so to speak, Hashem himself set up Midas Hadin, set up a system of justice in the world. And he, kaviyachol, is subject to that justice. So when Hashem wants to give an unbelievable present to the world, he often has to garb it in unseemly clothing, in unseemly covers, so that he could get it into the world without the Midas Hadin recognizing and knowing how great this is. He quotes this from the Magen Meisharim, the Beis Yosef. He has to clothe it with many different layers. Even ugly layers. So that the prosecuting forces in the world don't say, well, what, do they deserve this? What is this? If it was public, take it by the Ola Amakatri Lakatre. The prosecutor would say, what are you doing? Midas Hadin. And that's what he quotes from the Magen Meisharim, the second to last line. It was the Rabbi Yosef Cairo Sefer that he wrote down his discussions with the Malach. The Malach Gibo Ugira Ben Beis Yosef. She Itzrich David Umalka Meshicha. The Yesu Merusa Moavia. Why did David and Malach have to come from Rusa Moavia? Because he had to get it in under the rug. David and Malach is the greatest, is the destiny of Am Yisrael. So Hashem had to get it in without any realizing. The context with which Eimav HaNesvecha uses this is defending the idea that just because there were many anti-Torah pioneers that were the early Zionists in the 19th century, that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong. Chas v'shalom. And Hashem often has to clothe things, the gift of coming back to Eretz Yisrael, Shivat Zion, Kibbutz Galus, right? That's why it could be covered with Kama Mini Tufim. But that is idea number one, to, so to speak, hide it from the Satan. That might also connect to why by Marbif Esa Satan, you know, at the time of Rosh Hashanah, but that's not for now. Number one. Number two, a second idea. A second idea, which is a little more down to earth. A little more down to earth. If you remember the Haftarah for Parsha Zohar, the next page, source number 13. Now, this is the answer to a trivia question. When is the only time you can read the same Haftorah 2 weeks in a row? Hasn't happened in a while. There's one time when you can learn. Yes?
When you fly to
Arizona, America. That doesn't count. If you're in the same place. Yes, I heard it the same week, 2 weeks, the past 2 weeks in a row, I heard the same Haftorah. But if you're in the same place, the answer is Purim Mishulish. When Purim is on Friday, and Shushan Purim is on Shabbos, that's called the three-day Purim in Yerushalayim. They have Purim Mishulash. What do they do Purim Mishulash? Friday, they have Megillah and Matanos Lev Yonim. Shabbos is... No, not the Suda. Shabbos is... Shushan Purim is Al Hanisim in the laning. Vayavu Amalek is the Maftir. And Sunday, which is the day after Purim, they have the Suda Mishloch Manos. They have the Suda Mishloch Manos without an Al Hanisim. It's a three-day Purim. But the Maftir that day in Yerushalayim is Vayavu Amalek. What's the Haftarah for Purim? You never have Haftarah on Purim. But when Shushan Purim is on Shabbos, Purim Shul, what's the Haftorah? It's Parsha Zohar. So in Yerushalayim, when it's Purim Shul, it's maybe the same Haftorah 2 weeks in a row. But anyway, says the Navi. We know the story. The story of Shaul HaMelech. The story of Shaul HaMelech when he did not wipe out Amalek. And if you look closely, we can have a whole shiur on just this parak. It's a fascinating parak. But what happens, as we know, Shmuel says, wipe out Amalek, Shaul goes, and he has Rachmanis on the animals, on the babies, on anything, right? Some of the Amalekim change themselves to animals. So Shmuel comes back and says, Shaul knew what's going on. And Shaul says, Hakimosi Svar Hashem. And give me a pat on the back. I'm awesome. I didn't say that, but he said, I get a shkayach. And what does Shmuel say? Shmuel says, let's go Pasuk Gimel. V'yomer Shavu Shmuel Hashol, v'yomer lo Shaul. Baruch atol Hashem, Hakimosi Svar Hashem. V'yomer Shmuel, Yudalit, onomatopoeia in the Navi. Remember that word? Good SAT word. Onomatopoeia. Ding dong.
Hi.
Meow. Onomatopoeia right here. Umeh kol hatsen. Meh kol hatson. Don't say ma. It's meh kol hatsen. Son bed. What's the sheep I hear? I think I hear some sheep. Shaul. Oh no, the sheep! That's that the Am wanted to bring some karbanos. Shmuel says, I want your karbanos. I want you to listen to me. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, wipe everything out. I'd rather you listen to me than bring karbanos. So Shmuel says, oh, you know, it's not my fault. Shmuel says, Halo im katan ata beinecha, rog shifte Yisrael ata. Are you small in your eyes? What does Shaul mean by that? What does Shmuel mean by that? Are you small in your eyes? Shaul is upset. Shmuel turns to leave. Shaul says, no, the Am wanted to give, karbanos. Shaul turns around. Shmuel turns around. Shaul rips his clothing. Shaul says, please don't leave. I did it. I sinned. Chatasi. Then finally, Shmuel doesn't leave. Okay, it's a whole process of tshuva, which we don't have time to get into here. But what's the ruchet? What was the ruchet of Shaul? So a number of the Mefarshim point out that over and over again in this story, Shaul blames the Am. Shaul blames the Am. The Am took it. The Am did this. The Am made me do it. Shaul did not rule over the Am. He was ruled by the Am. He was influenced by the Am. And the earlier story also in Avich, we're not going to get into, the Am was dispersing and he was supposed to wait for Shmuel to give karbanos, but he was nervous. And what Shmuel was saying to him is that halo katanata. Shaul might have been a tzaddik at a certain point in his life, but he was not a successful king because he didn't rule over the people. Says the Shemi Shmuel. You turn the next page for a minute. Says the Shemi Shmuel. It's quoted by in this article by Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldeff, the founding of Shiva in Kerem Yavne. So he expands on the Shemi Shmuel. You know why David HaMelech needed to come from Rus? It's a fascinating idea. He needed a little Moabite blood. This doesn't explain the other stories. But it's not natural for a Jew to rule over a fellow Jew. It's not natural. We're all part of one body. So a king is going to rule over his fellow Jew? Says the Shemi Shmuel. You see on the... He goes one line and then he expands on it. The inyan ha-malucha lo haya nimsa b'Yisrael v'yitzrichen likach zos mi'amon u'moav. David was a successful king. Shaul was not. David was able to rule over the people because he had this little bit of background in him. Again, this doesn't explain the earlier stories, but at least this one. And that's David HaMelech. David Melech Yisrael. He was a successful Melech because he had to have a proper L'shem Shamayim Gaiva. That's what a king has to have. Right? This Mora Melech. Everybody has to be in awe of the king. And he can't be Mochel on his covered, unlike a Talmud Chacham. A melech can't be mochel on his cover. That's a melech in Am Yisrael. And this even explains, fascinating, right, another story in Sefer Shmuel. Turning the page. Or just to add, I forgot to mention. Right, naturally every Jew has three siman, and the Gemara says in Yevamos, 16. Rachman and Baishan and Megom Lechasadim. To be a king is not something natural. But that's what David HaMelech needed to be. So there's an amazing story. Sorry, again, a story which the Medrash fills in the what the Navi tells us. Navi describes the story of when David HaMelech brought the Aron back to Yerushalayim. For many years, it was taken by the Plishtim. Then it stayed at Beit Shemesh for a while. Kiryas Yearim finally is getting back to Yerushalayim. And it gets back to Yerushalayim. And after tragedy had struck a few months before, and David was so excited. And David is dancing in front of the Aron, Mefcharker, Mefasves, got the exact Lashon, right? You have it there in Surah 17. Where's the Lashon? Did the Rambam quote this pasuk at the end of Hilchas Sukkah? Mefazes of Mecharker. He's dancing and he's sweating and he's going crazy in front of the Aron. As they brought it back to Yerushalayim. And after a long day, the Pesukim described, he's had a long day, he goes back home, and he takes off his jacket, he collapses on a couch, and he says to his wife, "New honey, what do you think of today?" And the Torah, the Navi tells us, that Michal Bas Shaul, his wife, as if we don't know whose daughter she was, but it says, Michal Bas Shaul says to David, where's the Pasuk? Pasuk Chaf. Manichbar Hayom Melech Yisrael. What an awesome day this is, David. Asher Nigla Hayom Le'enei Amhosa Vavada. Ki Golos Niglos Echad Arekim. It's a great day when all the maidservants of the nation saw your bare arms when you were dancing. And they saw you going crazy. Great job, honey. That's what she says. What's David's answer? David says, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, I'm the king, not your father. That's all the pasuk says. What's the conversation here? I'm the king, not your father. The Yalkut Shimoni adds in, you're right, you think it's embarrassing, but you know what? I don't care what the Am thinks. Because I do what I know is right from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why I'm the king. Your father lost the malchus because of that. Because he was so nervous about what people think. And that's exactly, David HaMelech's having a little Moav in him. He was able to do that. He was able to be a successful king for eternity. Malchus Beis David. Mashiach is going to come from David Melech's family. Because we needed that. And that's part of the Geula process. Idea number two. There's more. The Sefer Yikarim. Maybe we'll just mention it quickly. And then we'll get to the other two ideas. The Sefer Yikarim, Rabbi Yosef Albo, in source number 19, also mentions the question that the Rishonim ask. Why is it that David and Shaul both committed sins? They both sinned. Nobody was perfect. Shaul committed sins and David committed sins. Why did Shaul lose his malchus because of his sins? And David didn't lose the malchus because of his sins. Whatever the chait was with Bathsheba, there was some chait there. The whole Sefer Shmuel Beis talks all about David's, the whole Sefer is a punishment for what he did with Bathsheba. Right, his very difficult life David HaMelech had. You think David's like sitting in the back on a chaise lounge chair riding to Hillel. David had a very hard life. The first half he was being chased by Shaul, and then the second half his kids were doing terrible things with each other, and they're trying to usurp his malchus. A very tough life. But he sinned too. After the Sefer Yikarim, why did David keep his malchus and Shaul not? Explains the Sefer Yikarim because David's sins were personal. They were personal. Everybody sins. I mean, nobody sins like on David's level, but they were personal. Shaul's sins had to do with his being a melech. His sins prevented him from being a melech. They had to do with his being a successful king. David's sin, taiva. Shaul's sins affected his malchus, and that's different. So number one, we have the Emor Ben Hasmecha, the Kabbalistic idea. You have to clothe the great presence in the world with unseemly garb sometimes. That explains all the stories. Number two, the second idea from the Shemi Shmuel is that you need a little Moavite blood. That's the story of Rus, at least. Three, a third idea, an opposite yet parallel idea. The Gemara in Yuma says, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, source 20, you don't appoint a leader on a tzibur unless we would call it he has skeletons in the closet. Unless he has a bag of shratzim hanging in his backpack. So if he gets a little too much, goes to his head, we can say, hey, look where you came from. It's always good to have a little something to hide, so it keeps me in check. And that's why the Chizkuni says that Moshe Rabbeinu's parents, the greatest leader we ever had, Moshe Rabbeinu's parents were an illicit relationship later on in history. Right? Yocheved and Amram were an aunt and a nephew. Another trivia question. Who am I? I am Moshe's grandfather and great-grandfather, but I'm the same person. Levi. Right? Levi was Moshe's mother's father and Moshe's father's father. Right? He was Moshe's grandfather and great-grandfather. Levi. So, because he was an aunt, Yocheved was the daughter of Levi. So, Moshe Rabbeinu's parents was from an illicit relationship that Torah was going to ask her. That's what the Chizkuni says. Kupa shel shratzim. It always keeps in check. So maybe that's another idea. A third idea. If David HaMelech ever, if anybody from Malchus Beis David, it ever goes to their head, look where you came from. Helps balance out. Helps balance out. And that's even why maybe the Ron writes in the Drushos in Source 22. Again, we're not reading so much inside. Make sure we finish on time. The Ron writes in his Drushos, that's why the king has a separate mitzvah to have a second Sefer Torah with him, wherever he goes. Every Jew has to write a Sefer Torah. But the king has to write a Torah wherever he goes. The king goes to public meetings, the Torah has to be with him. He goes out to war, the Torah is with him. Wherever the king goes, he has to have a Torah. Says the Ron, because the king has such elastic power. The king can do whatever he wants, basically, if it's L'shem Shamayim. We need to have a little balance, a little check, so that it doesn't get out of hand. And it doesn't go to his head. If it's not perfect, and therefore you always have to have a Torah with him to make sure he stays in check. A third idea. But there's a fourth and final one. Fourth and final idea. This is from Rav Soloveitchik. You have it there in Source 23. In the Days of Deliverance Sefer, which is a collection of different places. Said the Rav, there's a basic ingredient for Geula that needed to be created in David HaMelech's lineage. An ingredient for Geula is the hope and yearning for Geula. In order to have the Yeshua, you need the Tzipisa. Without the Tzipisa, the Yeshua is not going to happen. Every one of these stories has usually a woman that is in a state where the future looks impossible. Bleak, depressing, no hope. What am I going to do? Lot's daughters, Tamar, Rus, all the stories. There's no hope. It looks hopeless, it looks terrible, it looks dark. But you know what? Each of the women in the story say, stubbornly, I could dream of a better tomorrow. I know it's going to get better. I'm optimistic. I could do it. I believe in a salvation. And that itself brings the salvation. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it into the Bria that Geula is predicated on a yearning and a dream of Geula. And that's what's needed. Heard, Rav Ari Marcus told me, B'shem Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, it's also in his Haggadah. That's amazing. We know we have the four Lashonos of Geula. Why doesn't it say V'hoshati? V'yosha Hashem, V'yamahu. Hashem did the Yeshua for us. Why didn't Hashem promise the Yeshua also? V'hoshati. Which actually happened. Says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, because Yeshua is predicated on our wanting Yeshua. So Hashem couldn't promise that. It's only when we dream of it and we yearn, that's when it could come, but it couldn't be promised. Right? And that's why in Shemona Esrei, right, we don't say at the end of every bracha, we declare what Hashem does. Ki goel chazakata, ki rofe chinam, ki rofe, ki kel malach rofe. What is Hashem is? Es samach tov ra'av tachame tzvi v'chanez rabbi shuasecha, ki li shuascha ki vino kol hayom. That's the only one that ends about us. I think this is Rav Ari's Hosafa to Rav Ari. Ki li shuascha ki vino. If we have the ki vino, then we have the li shuascha. Because it has to do with us. And that's David HaMelech's background. And again, we're not going to read all the Rav, but they write, true, they did it in a horrible way, but their primitive intention was good and demonstrated a remarkable sense of spirit. That same strength is a foundation of the kingdom of David HaMelech. V'chulu, and he continues, this is what makes a Jew a Jew. Right? What happens at a kvura? Right after we bury somebody, we turn around and we say a kaddish that talks about tchias ha-meisim. Isn't that unbelievable? But that's what a Jew does. We bury, and we hope for a better tomorrow. And we turn, and he continues. And this is what has kept us going throughout history. The back of the top of the last page. Everyone laughed and mocked, saying, God has long forgotten you. Thousands of years passed, and the divine promise was not fulfilled. Yet the Tamars kept waiting. He never gave up hope. The Tamars dreamed of a better tomorrow. The Nesiv HaShalom writes, not the one that I gave you. Oh yeah, it is the one. He writes this on Shmos also. It says when Basio got Moshe from the basket, it says that she saw he was crying and, oh, he's a Jewish child. So Chazal say, how'd she know? Oh, he was born with a mahul and it was always light. Says the Nesiv HaShalom, she saw that he was crying and she said, it's a Jew. Because a Jew cries differently than anyone else. It says the Nesiv HaShalom, a Jew cries a Bechi Shel Tikva, and not a Bechi Shel Yesh. Because that's in our essence. And that's in our Mahus. And the more we do that, the more we will the Geula to occur. So as we enter in now, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, these months of Churban, these months of the opposite of Geula, our job is to be misake. Our job is to have the tzipisa. And the more the tzipisa, the more the kivinu kol hayom. That's, Hashem doesn't promise the Yeshua. It's up to us. It's up to us. If we have the kivinu kol hayom, then we can have l'shuascha. Not just because it's the first mitzvah according to the smak, but it'll will it. And that's why David HaMelech has in his essence, number one, it's covered up. Number two, the Shem Yishmuel. Number three, the idea of Kupa Shel Shratzim. But number four, the idea of Rav Soloveitchik, that each of these stories has hope in the face of darkness. And that's what's kept us going for 2,000 years. And starting tonight, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, even though it's Lama Tziva, starting tonight, it's about hoping, it's about yearning, it's about feeling a chisaron. And the more we have that, the more we ache, the more B'ezras Hashem will fill that void, and B'ezras Hashem bring us the Geula of the Meir of Yemen.